Welcome to the first ever BU News podcast. I'm Emma Ray. On this monthly programme, we'll update you on some of the key areas of research within the university and bring you the latest campus news. Coming up, Charles Elder experiments with the eye tracker software in the School of Design, Engineering and Computing to find out how it's applied to analyse web usability and appeal. We'll also bring you the facts and figures behind the brand new Kimmeridge House Lecture Theatre complex, which opened for business at the start of 2011. But first, there are some senior staff appointments to tell you about. Professor Matthew Bennett has been appointed Pro-Vice-Chancellor. Matthew, who's been at BU since 2002, was most recently the Dean of the School of Applied Sciences. Matthew studies landforms and sediment of the last 2 million years, and he's well known for his research into early human footprints. Recently, he's achieved success leading preparations for the Research Excellence Framework. Professor Tim McIntyre-Batty will join us as Deputy Vice-Chancellor. Professor Roger Palmer joins BU in March as the new Dean of the Business School. And Professor Holger Schutkowski recently took up the post of Deputy Dean of the School of Applied Sciences. We wish them the very best as they take up their new posts. Next, the start of 2011 saw the opening of the new Talbot Campus Kimmeridge House Lecture Theatre complex. Caroline Farwell has more details on this impressive facility and the benefits it will bring to staff and students at BU.
The new Kimmeridge House Lecture Theatre complex has opened its doors at BU's Talbot Campus. Staff and students now have access to state-of-the-art audiovisual technology and flexible seminar and lecture space for up to 706 people. The two-year project was managed by the university's estates team. Deputy Vice-Chancellor David Willey described a sense of pride as staff previewed the facilities this month.
What this extension to Kimmeridge House does for us is create significant new learning facilities. That gives us more flexibility around timetabling, lectures and such like. But in addition, it offers space that can be used in many different ways. It's a sense of pride, a pride in the work that the team have put together over the last 2 years to produce this magnificent building and these magnificent facilities.
The added space includes a large lecture theatre seating 308 people. A smaller one has 68 seats, and there are two seminar spaces on the upper floor for 120 people. The Marconi Lecture Theatre is also back in use, contributing another 210 seats. Among the high-tech facilities in the large lecture theatre is a 15-foot-wide high-definition screen. A total of 72 speakers make up the auditorium's impressive surround sound system. The theatre also boasts an acoustic reverberation system, which is the first of its kind in the UK and only the third worldwide. So what do members of staff think about the new look Kimmeridge House?
It's fantastic. It's big, spacious, light and airy. We've got the modern kit upstairs, we've got social spaces. It's really stunning.
It's good to see that we're at the cutting edge of modern development. I think it's a fantastic building, a great addition to our portfolio of learning and technology that we've got here at the university.
I think the addition of new space is going to be great because we have been a bit tight in space. I think we're going to be able to use it for community staff to be able to have concerts here, and so I think it's going to be great.
This room in particular, because the layout is in a semicircle, you're going to be able to make better eye contact with students. Obviously the acoustics are going to work in the favour of being able to talk quite naturally and normally, and the audiovisual equipment is obviously state of the art.
In addition to the impressive audiovisual equipment, attention has been paid to increasing the efficiency of Kimmeridge House to keep in line with the university's green credentials. The complex is linked up to BU's building management system that remotely controls the building's power systems, which allows staff to effectively monitor the building's energy use. With lectures and seminars now in full swing, Kimmeridge House promises to transform the learning and teaching experience of staff and students at BU.
Caroline Farwell there, reporting on the opening of Kimmeridge House. In other news, Bournemouth University's Professor Dimitris Bouhalis has released a new publication on the tourism industry, which he claims isn't doing enough to ensure travel destinations and services are accessible to disabled or elderly travellers. In his book Accessible Tourism, Professor Bouhalis explores the business opportunities and consumer issues surrounding this subject. You can find more information by following the link on our podcast page. BU's Media School has released the preliminary findings from October's Unplugged research. The experiment, in conjunction with the University of Maryland in the USA, challenged our students to go 24 hours without their usual media technology, such as the internet, mobile phones, iPads and TV. One student likened the experience to giving up smoking, and others described it feeling isolated or anxious. Results are being analysed together with other universities across the globe, and it's hoped the findings will help shape the future of communication. The Fair Trade Foundation has praised BU for making great progress in pushing fair trade forward. Recent activities on campus include the How Fair is Fair Trade debate, the focus on legal aspects of corporate social responsibility, and the new Fair Trade curriculum within Perspectives and Governance and Ethics course units. These have contributed to the Fair Trade Foundation's decision to extend BU status for another 2 years. The School of Design, Engineering and Computing is home to the sophisticated eye tracker software, which monitors directional movements of the human gaze as someone performs a task such as viewing an advert or a sign. The latest study will determine what people find most appealing on websites based upon what their eyes are drawn to. The findings will be invaluable to web designers as they reveal what consumers find most appealing. Charles Elder from BU's press office had the pleasure of having his gaze analysed and found out more about the research from Craig Gervin at Bournemouth University's Eye Tracker Consultancy.
If you press the space bar, again, all you need to do is just fixate on the dot, and once we're happy, it will continue.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. Did you notice anything about the websites that you thought that makes it appealing?
There's lots of pictures of people. And one or two, like the bicycle one, their body shapes. And then lots of them, there's a small picture of people, but then lots of information.
Having very little text on a website is appealing. The interesting thing is that it's been proven that if you judge a website as appealing, you trust it more. And you also believe that it's more usable, even if the contrary is the truth.
And how do you choose the websites?
We selected the websites from the top 100 retail websites in the UK from last year. And we randomly selected 50 of those. We then put those 50 websites onto an online survey, and 250 people rated those websites as either appealing or not appealing, mm-hmm. in much the same way that you've done now. Based upon that, we've then selected those that are rated most appealing and those that are rated least appealing, and we want to look at the differences, what's happening, what are people looking at or not looking at when they rate a website as appealing or not appealing. So we're using our tracking to look into that. There are some certain theories around what makes a website appealing, some very specifics, things like a large image, an image of a model or a celebrity, or the availability of search functionality, which is quite a strange one, but apparently there is certain demographics that expect search functionality there, and if they don't see it there, they then think, oh, actually it's a less appealing site, which is a bit of a strange one. You can sort of think it's a less usable site, but they actually think it's less appealing. So it's just trying to identify those factors without explicitly asking you. With eye tracking, we can look to see, is it the search functionality? Are you attending to the fact that the search functionality is available or not available? So often people will look to the top right-hand corner for the search functionality, or to the basket, or logging in, logging out, whatever it might be. Mm. Amazon and eBay completely go against the recommendations from a web design usable point of view. Yet they are the top-rated UK retail websites in terms of their revenue. You won't wait for the web. If it doesn't come to you within seconds, and if a website isn't good enough in seconds for you, you're gone. You've clicked the back button. For the likes of Tesco.com or Amazon or any big website which is just positioning or the colour of a promotion or whatever it might be, could make all the difference to how many people actually click on it. It can affect the bottom line for a big company.
And the number of pretty women.
I think we'll leave it there. Thank you. Craig Gervin talking to Charles Elder. We're approaching the end of this podcast, but if you're a student or member of staff from BU and you're working on an area of research that you'd like to share with us, please email the details to press@bournemouth.ac.uk. This programme was presented by myself, Emma Ray, with contributions from Charles Elder and Caroline Farwell. It was produced by Sally Gates. Look out for the next BU News podcast next month, and thanks for listening.